From the Paley Center for Media in New York, this is Max Media. Here's Max Robbins.
Hi, everybody. I'm here with Brad Adgate. Brad is basically a programming guru. He works for Horizon, where he is really the man who lets them know what shows are going to make it, what shows aren't, so they can know where to buy those commercial spots. He's really in the catbird seat in everything television programming. He's been doing it for a year or two. And we're here with him today. We want to find out how he got into that business and really what he thinks about what's going on right now. Brad, thanks so much for coming.
Hey, thank you, Max, for having me.
Interesting. Before we get into what's going on right now and what might be happening in the future, you've been in this business for 30 years.
Yeah, it's painful to say, but back where I was...
You started when you were about nine?
Thanks. Back when I was younger, you'd do a 30 share and you were guaranteed a renewal. And now if you do a 30 share, my gosh, you are a mega hit. In fact, no one does a 30 share unless it's the Super Bowl or the Oscars or something.
Well, you worked at some of the cable networks, didn't you, at some points in your career?
Yeah, that's true. I worked at Turner Broadcasting, which is a wonderful place. I have a great research department. They still do. I worked at Family Channel. I worked at TNN. When it was country music and motorsports. So, dabbled in a little bit and also in syndication.
Wow. So you've covered the primetime waterfront and beyond.
Well, I've worked in being subjective and I've worked at being objective.
Well, these days, Horizon, which is the largest independent media company, what I understand, billing's more than $3 billion. That's a little bit of change there. More than walking around money for most of us. They really entrust you to tell them what's going to work and where they should place their bets in terms of where their clients should be expressing their advertising dollars.
Yeah, basically, we put out a lot of reports. I mean, we put out a monthly report just based on, what shows are coming down, what shows are in development, what type of casting deals are being made. We put out a program development book, which is kind of interesting, the pilots that the networks pick up, and then in May comes the big upfront presentations. They're not as big as they used to be, but still, and then we put out a summary of that. And also, it just gets bigger and bigger, and it's not just broadcast TV anymore. Certainly cable plays a part of it, certainly Spanish language networks. I mean, Univision is now competing with the broadcast networks and adults 18 to 49.
There are times where Univision is the number one network in prime time.
That's true, and they were almost number one on Sunday night.
Wow. Wow, who would have ever thunk that? I mean, yeah. That just shows the growing importance of that Hispanic market and also Univision's ability to program successfully to it. Curious, you mentioned how you get to see these pilots, these shows, before most of the public gets to see them. How do you judge what's going to work and not work?
Well, you can't really judge a pilot. If you look at the first show, I mean, they've spent months, even years, putting together that first show. It's really what goes on after that, the second, third, fourth. I remember last year when ABC, in a very unusual move, was so excited about this comedy, Modern Family, which, of course, now I can say the Emmy Award-winning comedy, Modern Family. They showed the whole pilot, and it was hysterical. I mean, you sat there and said, oh, my gosh, I got to sit through 22 minutes of this. They showed it. And it
you mean
was
at their presentation,
yeah.
for folks like you.
Yeah, normally they'll show a 3 or 4 minute clips of the highlights, and then you get a DVD for the full show later on. But here they showed the whole pilot. And I remember talking to ABC afterwards, and they just said, "Well, we just hope that number 2 and number 3 and number 4 episodes are as good as number 1." And fortunately for them, that's the case. In fact, their ratings are actually up this year from a year ago, which is. Doesn't happen very often.
It's certainly a terrific show. Are there times, and I think we all in our kind of viewing experience have this, when bad things happen to worthy shows? I mean, are there times where you see a show in a series and you say, wow, you see it in the pilot, it gets stronger, the writing, the character development, all those things we look for, they get stronger with each episode. Yet the audience isn't there.
Well, a perfect example is Lone Star, I think, this year. It was a kind of a very risky move, something kind of different. You know, it aired on Fox at 9 o'clock on Monday nights, which is a very tough time period when you consider, you know, football in the fall with ESPN, which does 15 million
And you
viewers.
Have hit comedies on CBS as
you
well.
You have Two and a Half Men. You know, you have Dancing with the Stars on ABC, which is their most watched TV show. And then you had another show, The Event, on NBC, which was an action-adventure drama that was in its first year. Critics loved it. It was the type of show, my feeling is when I saw that show, I said, either this is going to be a huge mega hit or this is going to be a bomb. And unfortunately for Fox, it was the latter. They pulled it after two shows.
Just so we know the log line for Lone Star, what was it really about?
Well, it was just kind of a drama, serialized drama in Texas about this guy who didn't cheat on his wife. He had two wives. And I don't know whether that plays in Peoria so well. I mean, it works on HBO, but it doesn't work on Fox, or it didn't work on Fox.
And it did have a lot of promotion, a good lead-in. I mean, who's to blame? Who do we point the finger at? Is it at Fox for putting it into such a competitive time period? When you have a kind of a delicate project like there, you have a hothouse flower.
Yeah, I mean, well, Fox could have moved the show. I mean, there's nothing to stop it. If Fox wants to have a hit, they just put it next to American Idol and wait till January, and at least you'll get a sampling. They chose not to do that. You know, I think it's, you know, one of the byproducts of this is saying, you know, this was something a little different. This was something cutting across the grain, and that, you know, this may prevent the networks from putting on a kind of different type of show instead of the more traditional, you know, legal dramas and medical dramas that they always seem to put on each and every year.
And they keep working. I mean, how many permutations of crime procedurals do we have that still seem to do big box office?
That's true. And, you know, this year there seem to be an awful lot of those. A lot of whether you're a U.S. Marshal or whether you're an ex-CIA agent or whether you're a cop on the beat in Detroit or Chicago or L.A. I mean, just there seem to be an awful lot of them. And certainly some years you'll see the same types of shows coming from different networks, and you think there's some collusion going on.
You're listening to Max Media. I'm here today with Brad Adgate. He is the programming guru, I like to call him, for Horizon Media, the largest independent media buying agency in the world. Brad, have there been times, though, and maybe this season there's an example, where both your research and your gut said, we got a breakout hit here. This is going to work.
Yeah, you know, I think that this year you can look at Hawaii Five-0, and you can look at it two ways. First of all, I mean, it's a CBS show. It's in a great time period. You know, it was on CBS moved CSI Miami to Sunday night, so it was locked into that time period, which had always won, you know, the time period, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock's become a very tough time period to program shows because besides the fact that, you know, cable puts their big hits on at 10 o'clock, it's also competing with people who time shift. You know, you're watching 8, 9 o'clock shows, and you're time shifting on a DVR or TiVo, you're going to be watching it at 10. So a show like Hawaii Five-0 not only competes with other 10 o'clock shows, it also competes with the same, you know, perhaps Two and a Half Men or Mike and Molly on the same network from people time shifting. But, you know, but Hawaii Five-0, It looked like it was a great show. Familiar theme song, certainly.
To some of us,
to the CBS audience, anyway. And you know, but you could look in the downside and say, well, you know what? These types of shows haven't been working well before. You know, Knight Rider didn't really work too well. You know, Bionic Woman didn't work too well. So are remakes really going to work or not? And, you know, it's a good cast. It's in Hawaii. It seems to be working. In fact, right now it's the highest rated new program of the season, albeit it's only 2 weeks old.
Is that across all demographic groups? How's it doing with those 18 to 49-year-olds that your clients, by and large, like to reach?
Well, you know, like typical CBS, it's got a median age of 54, but it's okay with 3.8. I mean, CBS is averaging a 3.1 so far this season in adults 18 to 49, which is tops.
What is, I mean, in terms of actual 3.1, translate for that for some of our listeners into English.
Well, what that means is that it's 3% of adults 18 or 3.1% of adults 18 to 49 are watching the show. So, I mean, you know, it used to be a lot higher, but with all this media fractionalization, a 3 rating is pretty good. In fact, CBS right now is the only network doing above a 3 rating in that demo that everybody cares about. But as I, you know, pointed out, Hawaii Five-0 is doing about a 3.6 in that demo. So it's doing better than what most television is averaging. So I think it'll be renewed.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned DVR, time shifting. Most recent data I've seen is that almost 40% of American homes have DVRs. I think if we, I mean, I know that there's some debate about this, but I know in my house where there's 2 DVRs and that I've rarely watched a commercial. I'm fast forwarding through them. So are my kids. What are you going to do about that? What are your clients going to do about that?
Well, you know, first of all, you're only about half the people who have a DVR actually zap when they're in the playback mode. I mean, television's still a lean-back position. So, you know, a lot of times you're watching a show and you're watching the commercial and you realize, hey, wait, I can zap this. So right now it's kind of a mindset. It's still a very passive activity.
And, you really and believe that data, that
well,
only 50%?
That's what Nielsen says.
Okay.
This isn't my
data.
The gold
data. Standard, yeah, well, even if it might be fool's gold.
Well, you know, that's another
topic. My language, not yours.
Okay. That's another topic about Nielsen. But roughly they said about 40 to 50%. Viewers actually don't zap the commercials when it's in playback. If you look, you know, the currency now, this is the 4th season where it's what's called C3 ratings, which is actually an average of all the minutes in a commercial within a show. Instead of just buying a program and getting a program average, you know, that's live, now you have people who watch it on a time-shifting basis up to 3 hours, and it's just a commercial. So if you're surfing watching it live and you miss the commercials, it doesn't count even if you watch the show. Or if you're in a playback mode and you zap through the commercials, then that doesn't count. And really, when you compare it to live programming, It's pretty much the same. And there's not that much of a difference, at least not that yet. Now, as DVR penetration grows, I think, you know, you may start to see that. But I think right now it's, you know, we've at least the industry, the TV industry and the networks have and advertisers have kind of dodged a bullet a little bit. But going forward, that's another question. But you know, there's a lot of technology can give you a lot of things that it takes away.
Interesting. I wonder how that's changed in the kind of the arc of your career doing what you do. Right now, you mentioned technology. We talked a little bit about time shifting, DVR penetration. Is there, it seems that it's made your job much more difficult. While there's probably a lot more data to evaluate, I have to think there are many more things you're taking into consideration where ultimately you're going to decide, Is a particular program going to work for a client?
Yeah, that's true. That's a very interesting question. One of the things we talked about Lone Star earlier, and of course ABC canceled the show My Generation, and there was a theory that the networks would not pull the show as quickly as they have in the past because you have all this time shifting, all this on demand, and it's not just from DVRs, but it's also from online. And so it's one of these questions that saying, you know, well, how could they pull a show without seeing, you know, how many people watched it over 7 days or how many people saw it online or how many people can buy the DVDs? I mean, there's all these different types of revenue streams. You know, one of my favorite comments I think made was by Steve Levitan, again, the showrunner of Modern Family, and he was at the press tour over the summer, and he said that he loses 2 million viewers an episode because of ABC.com or Hulu or time shifting, and he really wants to prohibit that. I mean, it'd be hard to prohibit DVRs, but putting the content online. And, you know, someone pointed out, well, you know, CW tried that with Gossip Girl a few years ago, where they absolutely pulled all of the last 4 or 5 episodes of its first season. And, you know, nobody watched the show. They just didn't watch it or they pirated it or something else. So it's not that you're going to get more viewers if you pull the show off the internet. So these are just, you know, some of the factors about, you know, the behavioral patterns. The other thing I think that online viewing brings is a younger audience. I mean, ABC did a study that said the person who watches a show online is about 15 years younger than the person who'll watch it on TV. And so we talked about, you know, the importance of 18 to 49-year-olds. Well, you got to fish with the fish are.
You have to find out how to monetize that. And it seems that Steve Levitin, while he's a wonderful showrunner, it seems like a real old media thing. I mean, it's, you know, what's the old saw? Willie Sutton, the bank robber, said, you know, he said, why do you rob banks? He said, that's where the money is. It seems in this environment, you got to go where your audience is. And that with something like that, you make something like Gossip Girl, you think of a show like The Office. In a sense, other platforms, whether it was streaming it online, whether it was being able to buy it on iTunes, built that show into a hit.
That's true. I mean, The Office is a great example of a show that's really benefited from time shifting. It's on in a very tough time period. It's on opposite Grey's Anatomy, CSI, albeit those numbers are dropping a little bit. And The Office is actually doing fairly well. Maybe it's because Steve Carell's last season or not. I don't know. but it's a show that has really benefited, and it's a very young audience, and it's a very affluent audience. So it's a show that really doesn't have to win its time period to be a hit for NBC because you know, the financial model that the networks operate on is that advertisers pay a premium for an affluent viewer. They pay a premium for a younger viewer. The Office has both.
And plus, they can cash in if we're buying it on iTunes, or we're buying that DVD collection at the end of the year, and selling it in syndication.
Well, that's true. You know, American Idol was doing that for years with not only the iTunes and the downloads, but you know, the concert tour. And look what Glee's been doing. You know, as American Idol starts to fray a little bit and get a little bit older, but while still, you know, the agent pound gorilla on the TV landscape, there's a show like Glee that's waiting in the wings, and the ancillary dollars that gives News Corp is probably will mean that, you know, this show doesn't have to be a mega hit to make money for Fox.
Oh, I know Glee's making money. A lot of it's my money. I have tweens and teens in my house. This is Max Media. We're here today with Brad Adgate from Horizon Media. He is the programming guru, if he'll allow me to say so, for Horizon Media. Brad, in the end, part of who you're serving, I mean, really who you're serving is the clients of Horizon Media. And how does that, when you're picking shows, when you're evaluating performance, are you looking for opportunities? We mentioned Glee, we mentioned The Office. Those are all shows where you can see that there's ancillary businesses related to them, American Idol as well. Another thing is product placement. When you're evaluating shows, do you look at those kind of opportunities for Horizon clients?
Oh, sure, absolutely. For instance, that's part of the reason we do a program development book. I mean, if we could sit there and say, like, you know, CBS has a show called Mike and Molly, which is about an overweight couple who meet, and it's a comedy, and it's done really very well. It's Chuck Lorre with The Big Bang Theory and Two and a Half Men, you know, very...
The creator of both those shows.
Yeah, very, funny very guy. Successful. Funny guy, in a time when comedies aren't doing that well, he's doing very well. And so you look at that and you say, well, let's see, weight loss, what can you do with that? You know, what do our clients can do with that? Or, you know, typical things, you know, so we try and get a head start. And that's one of the reasons why we do a program development book is to see not only what shows the networks are thinking of putting on, but what type of branded entertainment or product placement opportunities that can go with that. And you know, writing recommendations and putting that out. And that, I think, is obviously become a huge revenue stream. You know, the networks have created separate divisions in the last few years just to handle product placement. It used to be, you know, maybe a barter agreement, or maybe it used to be just, you know, happenstance that someone has to drive a truck, so let's make it a Ford F-150 or something. Now it's a little beyond that. It's big bucks.
Question to ask you. Just want to backtrack a little bit. So, folks like you and me, we get to watch TV for a living. You know, I can have my feet up in my office watching, you know, Boardwalk Empire, the new HBO show. It's wonderful. And I can tell people I'm working.
Me too.
How do you get to be you? How do you, I mean, it's not like becoming an accountant or an engineer?
Well, it's just following it. You know, there's no substitute for experience. You know, I don't think. You know, I don't think I could have done what I'm doing if I was in this industry a couple of years. It takes a long time. You know, you can go back and see the evolution of television, the evolution of programming, you know, the explosion of cable and now the explosion of online media and interactive television. You know, we talk about Google TV made a big announcement yesterday. I mean, it's just, you know, having the I guess the wherewithal to follow this thing and to go back and use it as a have benchmarks and to sit and say, watch this thing. And beyond that, it's just, as you pointed out, you know, you look at the numbers, you look at the ratings, you understand what's behind it. You understand, you know, what the networks look at when they're looking for a hit or program, or what's going to work and what's not going to work. Listening to their rationale for putting a program in a certain time period. So it's kind of a combination of a lot of different things. But thank you for the compliment.
Well, I'm just curious in terms of a career arc. How do you train to be Brad Adgate?
Oh boy, I don't know. I should write a book. You have to sit in, you know, it's a cliche 24/7, but really, you know, you're on the train, you're at home, you're watching TV, you know, as you pointed out, you're working, you know, whether you're being entertained or not. That's one thing, but you are working and you're looking at things and you're seeing what works, what doesn't work, why are they doing this, why are they not doing that, what were they thinking when they put this show on, and so on and so forth. So it's a very, I think it's gotten to the point now where it's very time consuming. It's you know, you have all these channels. The average home has 150 channels. You know,
and a lot more data you're dealing with.
Oh yeah,
too.
Yeah. Now you got minute by minute. Now these set top box companies are coming up with second by second, and all these different commercial retention index and what they call engagement. And now you look. NPD came out with a study that said the first 8 months of this year, 12% of all TV sets sold were web-enabled. So, you know, you're going to have these smart sets coming in, and, you know, you start seeing the integration of television and PC, and I think Kagan came out with the fact that second quarter 2010 marked the first time that the number of subscribers to cable and satellite
Kagan,
telco,
the research,
SNL, it dropped. You know,
wow.
Are they cutting the cord? Is it the recession? You know, so a lot of these, you know, it's become, I think, a much more business and financial decisions as much as it is programming and entertainment. And that's one of the changes that I've noticed. And I tried to focus in perhaps on the business model as much as, say, the entertainment model.
We're talking with Brad Adcake. This is Max Media. We're getting real insight into how those who make decisions for advertisers evaluate the programming, they make their programming choices. And there's billions of dollars at risk. But I do want to give you the opportunity, before we have to wrap up here, what's on Brad Adgate's DVR? What's on your TiVo?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I like to watch live sports. I do, I watch Monday. I'm very excited about postseason baseball. You know, I do think, and that's one area that is really the ratings are going through the roof. I mean, you look at the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, whatever it is that's on sports, it's got a Midas touch.
And do you think that because in the DVR on demand environment we live in, these are the sports, live sports, one of the few remaining events we have that we bring into our homes that give us kind of that group experience, that have excitement, that you want to watch in real time?
I think that's very true. I think, you know, that's one of the things advertisers like about it. I think there are two things that are fueling sports and perhaps other big tickets, big sporting events or big award shows, is high definition. You know, it looks great on high definition. I suppose when 3D TV comes, that'll look even better. The second thing
A-Rod in your living room.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much. That commercial with the ball in your lap. Yeah. And the other one is you know, as you pointed out, the social network, you know, the community experience. But, you know, it's not just you're watching it with your family at home. You're communicating on Twitter, on Facebook, on texting, you know, to people outside your home while you're watching the game. And there's a lot of that activity that's now taken place that I think is really driving shows like the Grammys and Oscars and the NFL and Major League Baseball.
We want to be on the in on the conversation. We want to connect to people. I think that's spot on. And another development, too, I think that'll drive that even further. We talked about how more and more TVs are going to be connected to the web. Skype and other companies are starting to build in a kind of a video chat function into the new TV set. So you can be at home in Westchester. I can be in Brooklyn. Dennis, our producer here, he could be in New Zealand, and yeah. We could all be watching the same game together, or award show and commenting on it.
That's true. I mean, you know, play shifting is the next big, I think, in terms of video consumption, the next big thing. You know, we're already time shifting. Now it's play shifting. It's watching it from anywhere you want. Media is moving outside the home. And marketers like that, because if you're outside the home, you could be out buying something. You're closer to point of purchase. And there's been a huge shift, I think, from having media consumption moving and being mobile.
So you're really excited about mobile. Do you have an iPad yet?
No, I don't. I just got a Kindle. So that's, you know, I'm not an early adopter. I'm early majority, I think, and my segmentation.
Well, we know we've got a real sports fan here. In terms of scripted television, when you're watching just for you, not for work.
Oh, I like to watch Modern Family. I do watch Glee. You know, I do have a teenage daughter. Well, now she just entered college. So, I try and watch what my family watches. I watch The Office. I like 30 Rock. Among the new shows this year, I did watch No Ordinary Family on ABC. You know, I saw the pilot. I watched it a second time. I like Michael Chiklis. He's a good actor.
That's Michael Chiklis, the family that has superpowers.
Yes, yes.
Now,
he can.
I've got it recorded. I haven't seen it yet. Did they pull it off?
Yeah, they do. But, you know, they have a little twist at the end because you're watching it and say, wow, this is a movie. What are they going to do with episode two? But at the end, they have a little twist. So they're bad guys involved. Not to spill it. But it did pretty good.
No spoilers on Max Media.
No, no but there is a little twist. And, you know, it's kind of like The Incredibles. Uh-huh. I guess for a movie from that animated movie a few years ago. But it looks good.
You think it's got legs? I mean, it's a high-concept show.
Yeah, well, it's on a Tuesday night and at 10 o'clock opposite Glee, so that's not an easy time period. But, you know, they did run it on Friday night at 8 o'clock, and that's where I caught it. So they're taking, you know, a lot of these networks are taking, you know, kind of like dead time periods like Friday and especially Saturday night and putting on, you know, repurposed shows of these premieres to give people another opportunity to watch them.
They're doing it on demand, too, in a lot of cable systems as well. I think it's smart to give people as much opportunity to sample as possible. We've talked about all these places that television's available, how the landscape has changed so much, and kind of the arc of your career. It seems to me this makes a tremendous challenge for your clients, especially if they are mass marketers and they really need to... whether it's a film company that needs to open a movie big on the weekend, or it's a car manufacturer that's going to have the Columbus Day weekend sale, what do they do? How do you help them?
Well, you know, it's as you point out, it's gotten far more complicated. It's gotten far more opportunities. I think what you have to do is really there's a lot of granular data that's pointed out, not necessarily from Nielsen, you know, these second-by-second ratings that are now available. TiVo, you know, I met with TiVo yesterday, and they're all ready for these web-enhanced TV sets. You know, they're all ready just to sit and find out what video are you watching online.
TiVo is saying they're not in the set-top business. They're in the data business.
Yeah,
now.
They are. They are. And it's a very, you know, and Wired said, you know, this isn't your DVR from your cable operator. This is your DVR on steroids. And so they're already set, you know, for this whole convergence that's taking place and getting information on data. I mean, it requires agreements from content providers or websites. You know, did they visit? Did they buy the product? You know, did they see the ad on the TV or did they see it online and did they buy the product? And things of that sort. And these are the type of areas I think marketers are really looking for. I don't think marketers generally have a problem allocating a fraction of their advertising budget on these new type of devices and new platforms that are now available, whether it's video or non-video. video. And I think that going forward that there are going to be more and more opportunities with mobile handheld devices, media outside the home. But television viewing remains a very strong component. Still the first screen until further notice. May combine with the second screen, but it's still the first.
Well, I think that's a great place to end, and I'd like to thank you. Brad Adgate is the media, well, really programming guru for Horizon Media, which is the largest independent media company in the world. He is one of the savviest minds trying to make sense out of a very complicated programming landscape. Brad, thank you so much for joining
us. Hey, thank you, Max, for having me. It was great.
You've been listening to Max Media, a production of the Paley Center for Media in New York City. We're on the web at paleycenter.org. That's P-A-L-E-Y center.org. And you can reach us by email at maxmedia@paleycenter.org.